Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It is the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danker and Manisha Tang. Time now for the bigger picture. Start of the work week here in Singapore. We're kicking things off with non-oil domestic exports. Nodex numbers, which have just been released.
Yeah, looking pretty good. Up by 6.8% in December 2020. This is after the 5% decrease in November 2020. Growth due mainly to non-electronics. It's always important to see the breakdown, isn't it?
It's in contrast to analyst expectations who have predicted a decline in numbers. If you remember back in November last year, Singapore's Nodex numbers saw a surprise drop for the second straight month.
Yeah, but the big deal on the horizon today is China's fourth quarter 2020 GDP numbers, expected to cement the bounce back in the world's second biggest economy after the historic downturn last year.
Yeah, the fourth quarter earnings season is also starting to warm up in the US. Netflix is reporting this week, I believe, alongside the remainder of the Wall Street banks. Let's get some context and analysis on this with IG senior market strategist Pan Jingyi. Jingyi, let's start off with those Nodex numbers, huh?
Well, good morning. So, bright morning, I guess, for Singapore data. As Manisha just mentioned, the Nodex number came in with a surprise of 6.8% in December. And I say this really, I think, is a bit of a relief as well, especially given how we've seen around the world there have been, well, resurgence in terms of COVID-19 cases. And I would say, if we look into the data itself, we are certainly this to a large extent. It was mainly due to the non-electronics export, but both had actually, in fact, improved. So with the electronic exports, it's actually up 13.7% year on year, and that previously was seen up only 4% for November. Non-electronics actually up 5% year on year, and this after, of course, declining in November itself. So broadly, I think, you know, you're getting this kind of strong figures reinforcing that, well, at least with the manufacturing sector for the Singapore economy, I think that's seen to be pretty positive. Just another note as well, I think we do see the exports to the top 10 markets having growing, and for the US in particular, a strong 52.5% year-on-year increase in terms of this kind of export. But just to add as well, I think it's so far been about 9 minutes, but we are looking at the Sing dollar really not making so much of a move towards, which that of course I think coming after China's trade data last week having really been, well, positive readings as well.
Yeah, Jingyi, I'm glad you mentioned China. If you ever look at the calendar for indicators today, you see the Chinese flag indicated and a raft of data numbers that are coming out. GDP is going to be one of the big ones, even though it's a lagging indicator. Reuters has got a forecast 6.1% year over year, accelerating from the previous quarter's 4.9%. So how much of that would signal a recovery in the region?
Manisha, I think it's funny you mentioned this because we like to call it a data dump.
Yeah.
So basically, you do have, well, the GDP coming as the headline number. That consensus expectation is a strong 6.1% year on year, up of course from last quarter's 4.9%, and this signaling the kind of recovery that China is expected, had seen it. It's expected to really just really continue into the new year as well. I think, you know, we talked about the World Health Organization, the World Bank, you know, well, they are certainly looking to the likes of China leading the kind of recovery into new year. So it'll be important to see this number reinforcing that, but of course accompanying which industrial production, retail sales, these are expected to continue signaling that in December, China's recovery have been pretty much robust. But, you know, we talked about this earlier in the hours, whether just the resurgence in cases in China have been seen as well. So I think it's going to be one to weigh between two of which. But with these numbers that's been looking back, they are expected to reinforce and hopefully provide Asia markets a bit of a support this Monday.
Jingyi, I have a bit of a curveball question for you. I mean, markets,
as always.
Markets are closed today. It's the Martin Luther King Jr. Day. But we have a lot of things to look out for in the U.S. You've got President Trump impeachment. You've also got President-elect Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion economic stimulus package. Broadly, I want to ask how that might affect the markets. I mean, there are comments coming out of, you know, the likes of someone from JP Morgan saying that it could drive funds out of Asia into the U.S. But I've also seen reports that, you know, all these new relief packages could spur strong inflation and it could force the U.S. government to tighten conditions prematurely. What are your thoughts and what generally is the reading or the consensus with regard to this $1.9 trillion package?
Yeah, so earlier you did touch on quite a number of items with
Yes,
but they are really very important things. I should say that, you know, if you're trading, if you're investing, they definitely have to keep a close eye on this. So earlier you mentioned, you know, how's the market reacting to President-elect Joe Biden's expected $1.9 trillion package itself. I think for to a large extent, that what we had seen last week, the decline in the market, had also been a little bit of this contemplation as to whether we could really get such a big, massive stimulus package passing through. And that, I think, is, you know, is going to be one to continue watching as we move forward, whether the, well, Senate themselves really is going to give all those votes to, well, President-elect Joe Biden himself. But, you know, coming back to whether this is going to drive U.S. growth, I think, yes, that's going to be a key theme moving forward as well. And Manisha, we talked about the U.S. dollar itself potentially gaining a bit of a strength from this. If the numbers continue to surprise on the upside, I think that's the kind of reality you're going to look into and potentially drive inflation as well. But, you know, the good thing, and I think a little bit of a positive maybe, you know, for the market is that at the same time, I think the Federal Reserve themselves are cognizant that this is going to be a bit of a temporary effect, especially when you compare it to last year when things were not doing so well. So if this continue to be the kind of rhetoric that they look past this kind of short-term inflation jump, I think that's still going to be one that's keeping the monetary policy accommodative, and that's good for equity markets for what we are already concerned about.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. And I think Jerome Powell has said we have to see it consistently for some time at, 2%? So,
Okay, let's talk about earnings. Netflix.
Yes.
I mean, we could get into details of that, but just broadly, I know we've got Disney Plus coming to Singapore. I just wanted to ask the both of you.
But that's a, really key point.
Will you still keep your Netflix account?
Yes.
Oh, man. It's terrible. I'm addicted to all of these different platforms. I'm spending way too much money. But this is the problem, isn't it? All of these streaming wars, and what is that going to mean down the line for earnings?
Yeah, so I think definitely when it comes to earnings-wise with Netflix, I think yes, certainly there had been a little bit of a pressure into the third quarter, and I just really want to highlight this because they are really very pandemic driven at this point of time. The subscribers in Q3, we see it, we were started moving out of their homes and away from Netflix. But I think what the market's looking to, well, Netflix to do at least for the fourth quarter is to give well, the investors a little bit of confidence once again, and that they're projecting a $1.32 EPS, especially when this increase in terms of engagement happened once again as people go, well, have to stay indoors with the rise in cases. Now, you mentioned that a lot of this competition is going to come through. I think that's where we're going to look to how guidance is going to be. Disney Plus definitely going to put on quite a bit of a competition for Netflix, especially as they start to get around the world as well. But, you know, coming back, just to take a little bit of a broad outlook. We talk about this a lot more through this week, of course, I think. But taking a bit of a broader picture, yes, 8% of the constituents on the S&P 500 index will be reporting their earnings. And not just Netflix, which is one of the FANG index, names to watch. You do have the likes of Intel, Schlumberger, really giving you a bit of an oil and, well, oil and gas kind of picture as well. So I think, you know, we talk about equity's been a bit of an elevated situation. So this might be really be the guys to give us a bit of a volatility in the market. And if you're trading these individual stocks, sectors, it'll be quite important to just be aware that they're releasing their earnings and keep track of the reactions thereafter.
Anything else we need to look out for this week?
Yeah, well, so Ali, I just want a quick note on that central banks. We had the Fed really coming through with quite a commentary. Not too much expected this week because FOMC meeting is coming up. It's going to be a blackout period. But you do have a lot of ECB, Bank of Japan. They are going to chime in as well. And we're going to pretty much expect them to keep in line with what the Fed has been saying.
All right, fantastic. We've been speaking with Jingyi Pan, IG Senior Market Strategist, on The Bigger Picture.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.